Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app today.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Listen live.
I don't buy this for a second.
Podcasts, tweets, and more.
Love it.
Available in the App Store and Google Play.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit. I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thrill ride here, checking in, shirtless, in my car. Why? Because I just dominated buys, tries, and cardio. Look, an absolute savage. That's why. And a special shout out to all of the brave soldiers who laid their lives down for this great country to give me the opportunity to get absolutely, just like Post cereal, shredded wheat. Because it is now the summer. It is here. Maybe not officially, but it's post-Memorial Day, and there's a few facts of life that you need to understand. Number one, if you don't do cardio, the workout doesn't count, for it is cardio that makes you rock hardio. If you want to be a diamond, you gotta get cut, bro. All day, every day. Stairmaster. Yup. Treadmill. Yup. Carbs are for gutless cowards. So take it to another level. Rah! See you, Danks.
Frito burrito. Fritos and beef. And cheese.
Hello. Hello. Good morning. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, 603 in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Simulcast all over this great nation of ours on NBC Sports Boston. And man, what a kick in the nuts that
hey,
I
have
not.
Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. I have not recovered from sitting there, stunned silence, game seven, and how they absolutely blew it. They blew it. And I am not going to get over it for a long, 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 long time. And anyone who wants to crap on me this morning for sitting here after game two and saying the Celtics are going to the finals, by all means, please kick my ass, because I don't know what the hell happened to this team. I thought they were something that they weren't, but they just shriveled back into a team that I don't know who Terry Rozier was. I don't know who Jaylen Brown was. But my God, game seven, the only thing that you learn from game seven is that you have one bona fide superstar whose nuts will not shrivel up into his body when it matters the most, and that is Jason Tatum. Like, Jason Tatum's going to be a stud. I mean, he's going to be an absolute stud.
Agreed.
He was tested at the highest level, and he passed. And that's what things like this, like Game 7s do, is they show you who is going to be a superstar, who is going to end up taking the pressure and thriving in it, who is going to have that Paul Pierce clutch gene. And for somebody at his age to already have that, that guy is going to be a megastar.
I think it's too early to judge on Jaylen Brown just yet. I mean, he tends to tense up after he misses a couple early. You see that time and time again. But at the same time, that's the first time he's been in that situation. And the fact that he did not perform well, to me, doesn't write him off for the rest of his career.
No, it doesn't. But
you've already made the decision. You say, this is game seven. If you perform well in that game seven, you're a stud. If you don't, it just shows you don't have it. And I don't agree with that.
I think you can learn it. I think it's something that familiarity will
do. You do it more than once. Some guys get it right away. That's why Jason Tatum is special. That's one thing we've learned throughout the season. You saw it right from the beginning. He is a special player.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
You saw it time and time again throughout the playoffs, how special he can really be. Now, Tatum wasn't perfect throughout the playoffs either. I mean, but he did come to play on Sunday night. He was the guy on Sunday night. Jaylen Brown was not the guy. Jaylen Brown performed horribly for long stretches of time, but that doesn't mean if put in the same situation next year, he won't perform well.
By the way, 617-779-0985. Jaylen Brown needs to spend some time with Paul Pierce on learning how to draw a foul. How many times did he go straight to the bucket, and he had like three guys on him, and he would go up, and either the ball would just get knocked out of his hands, or it would be a jump ball, but almost never he got a foul called on. He needs to go to the Paul Pierce school, whether it's doing that thing Pierce does, or goes, ah!
Yeah.
And, like, yell, the thing that drives a lot of people crazy, but, my God, he gets a foul. I mean, it works almost every time. Throw your hands up in the air. He has got to learn how to make it to fool the refs into thinking that he got hit harder than he did. And sometimes he would get fouled, but he's just so bad at that. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to think. There's a lot of guys in this team that need to learn how to get fouled. Like, I mean, Terry Rozier, was he at the free throw line at all?
No.
In Game 7?
No.
I don't think he made it to the free throw line
at all. You also have to remember, how many times did Rozier drive to the basket in Game 7?
Yeah.
A lot of his shots were from the outside.
And, I mean, it was
atrocious. Same thing. Well, they couldn't hit threes. They weren't quite as bad as Houston was last night, but they couldn't hit threes to save their life, and that's what cost them.
And by the way, I think that there's also...
But what? Hold on. Let's go back to Rozier, and let's go back to Jaylen Brown for a second. Jaylen Brown, with time, like any other good player, will start to get those calls. I mean, you saw it. I mean, Jason Tatum had trouble, too. There was one sequence where LeBron James hooked Jason Tatum, hooked him.
Sure.
And there was no call there.
I remember that, yeah.
And then he backed down on him twice, bumped him. Tatum didn't give any ground, and they called a foul on Tatum. That will change the longer these guys are in the league.
But with Jaylen, it's a thing. And you've realized that. You've noticed this, too.
Sure.
Like, with Jaylen Brown, he's just so bad at getting foul calls. And it's not the refs. Matter of fact, a lot of people have been complaining about the refs one way or the other. I had no real problem with them being slanted one way or the other. I don't think throughout the entire series with Cleveland. I can't think of one game where I was like, man, did they get screwed. I mean, there were games where both sides got bad calls.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't one in particular that stood out. Like the one in... the one against the Sixers that Brothers was, that's his name,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was the one when Philadelphia had.
Right, and that was the one where you're like, okay, that was awful. That was a completely slanted game. I didn't see that. There were
series.
Bad calls, but there weren't one way or the other. All right, let's go ahead and start taking them. Let's go. This is weird the way this new phone system is set up. Okay, let's go to Chris. Chris, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
Hey, two things. First, Rich, as soon as you said that after game two, I was watching it at my house before work, and I was just like, nope, that's going to be a huge jinx. And I was just like, my man, like, dude, why are you saying that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, but, I'm sitting there watching those first two games, and the way that thank you, Chris, for calling, the way that that team played in the first two games. And that's the way they've been playing all postseason. You're like, man, Terry Rozier, you know, he is a force to be reckoned with. When you've got all these guys who can make big shots, Jaylen Brown. What happened to Jaylen Brown during the Cavs series? I mean, he shriveled up. On top of that, you had Al Horford, and Al Horford was on and off. And I think in Game 7,
well,
he was
Cleveland,
fine, but they didn't
Cleveland
go to him.
Did what they Cleveland understood after the first couple of games
yep.
to limit the Celtics offense. You had to take Al Horford out of
and
it.
They put Tristan Thompson in, and it worked.
And they started doubling him in the low post, and it forced the Celtics to alter their... Now, they altered their game plan. Now, in Game 7, Al Horford decided to be aggressive and head to the basket before the double team got there.
Well, also,
and
they decided to give him the ball in the first half.
Well, and that also helps. But in the end, what were the Celtics' two main weaknesses in Game 7? In a winner-take-all, two main weaknesses...
They couldn't make big shots.
Not just big shots. They couldn't make threes. And down the stretch, they didn't have a guy, and Jason Tatum played well, but they didn't have a guy who could finish... when it really mattered.
Well, they did, and they weren't giving him the ball.
I understand that, but in the end, the Celtics have two guys coming back that can solve both of those problems.
No, listen, I'm not saying anything. Here's why Game 7 hurt so much, is that we all know they overachieved. Let's just get past all that. But that was a winnable game.
Yes, I agree.
That was a winnable game.
Those two things are separate. It was a winnable game. It's disappointing. They should have won. Absolutely.
And also,
after Tatum's dunk over LeBron and his three back-to-back possessions to give him a one-point lead, the game was there for the taking. Cleveland did not play well. They should have won.
And this one also hurts more because I hate LeBron James. Like, I can't stand. I can't stand ESPN's fascination with him. That's no secret. Almost to the point where I don't think I want to watch any more basketball because the storylines that involve LeBron James are just vomit-inducing. There's some more good Windhorst stuff we might need to get to. At least I like making fun of Brian Windhorst.
I saw Brian Windhorst. I saw him on
him
on Sunday.
He's kind of a presence.
I was actually at Game 7. I saw Brian Windhorst at Game 7. He's there.
Yep. He's taking up space.
Yeah, yeah.
I love this, by the way. I love the line, like Bird puts the topic on the line here. Oh. And Luke, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on? When you fell off the turnip truck from the backwoods, Georgia, and came up here all wide-eyed and guaranteeing wins and things like that, you need to understand that this is Boston where the girls are ugly, the weather's terrible, and whatever can go wrong will go wrong. Don't ever do that again.
You know what? I was looking at all the stats, too, and you're right, Luke. I mean, the Celtics are, what were they? It's like in game sevens when they've won the first two games, weren't they something ridiculous?
They're unbeaten.
Yeah, it's like
37 in series where they go up two games to none.
Any team in the playoffs that wins the first two games at home, like wins, I think it was like 95% of the time. And when I saw the way that everybody outside of LeBron James was playing, and remember game two, LeBron James went off, and everyone else around him sucked.
Had a 40-point triple-double.
Yeah, he went off.
And they still couldn't beat him.
And the Celtics, everyone looked great. And so I was like, all right, well, this is it. This is it. This is it. They're going to the finals. And, man, just the they're nuts shriveled up. I don't know what happened. Like, the moment was too big.
Well, they looked like a team that was filled with young players that wasn't used to being in that situation.
But they hadn't up to that point.
I know that. But Game 7's different than Game 2. That's what these guys found out.
And you're right. And you learned a lot about the mental toughness of some of these guys. And listen, you know, Brad Stevens said it yesterday. Losses like that, and I think it was even Aaron Baines.
The pain is part of the process.
I thought
that
was a great line. And we'll get to what Aaron Baines said. But Aaron Baines has been in this position before. Remember when they lost in Game 7 to the Cleveland Cavaliers when the Spurs, not the Cleveland Cavaliers, it was the Miami Heat. And it was the series where Ray Allen made the huge shot in Game 6, which took it to Game 7, and the Heat ended up winning a ring that year. Aaron Baines was on that team, and he said, from that loss, all of us, we learned a ton, and we let it burn, and the next year, what did they do? They ended up winning a championship.
Yeah.
Let's go to Paul. Paul, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, Rich, you're okay, man. Look, I was saying all along it was going to be like 2010, but I didn't think it was going to be 2010 Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
that's what hurt. And I'll tell you what, LeBron looked so passive, like he wasn't trying to win. But thank you, Houston, for making me feel better after last night.
I know. You're right. That's the one thing, Paul, that
you didn't lose like that.
Yeah,
that was even worse.
If you want to take something, if you want to take something home, as atrocious as a shooting performance as you got from the Celtics in Game 7, you will never be you missed 27 3-point shots in a row. Like the Houston Rockets did last night. I mean, that is just, you want to talk about a bad way to go? That's a horrible way to go. And they were leading by how many at one point? I mean, the Rockets, once again, just like the Celtics, the game was in their hands. It was theirs to lose.
Rockets have the MVP on their team and lost.
I know, which of course doesn't mean much. All right, we will take more of your calls. Also, we'll get to some of the stuff that Danny Ainge said yesterday, and there's a lot of stuff that's been happening. First of all, if you're sick of basketball and the whole bad taste of the Celtics in your mouth, start watching this Golden Knights series. Start watching. Make the Golden Knights your official team that you're going to be rooting for the next couple of weeks because, my God, everything about that team rules, including their pregame ceremonies, including their 10-minute-long pregame ceremonies, which might be just something completely out of Cirque du Soleil meets Fireballs meets, I don't know.
I missed it, and I'm pissed I missed it.
Dude,
but it was interesting. The old guard, it's funny, though. The old guard was
hate it. And that's what makes it even better.
They all hate it.
All of these old school writers, they hate it. And, that's what makes it even better. All right, we'll take your calls. 617-779-0985. Just found out Dan Roach is going to be coming in. Just got the text. So he will be filling in for Fred this morning. So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, and the day after the Celtics delivered a kick to their own nuts in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, yesterday the players, coach, and management met with the press, and Brad Stevens, for one, knew that the game was a winnable one, but hopes that the team remembers just how much this feeling stinks.
I talked about the pain as part of the path. We've been really fortunate to continuously get better the last couple of years, but when it ends, it's painful. But that is part of the path. And so we have to let it motivate us.
Said very Jedi-like. Well, among some of the revelations from yesterday, we learned that Aaron Baines broke his nose in Game 6. He continued to play throughout the rest of the game as well as Game 7.
Probably the best I've felt at the end of any season. You know, that's a big credit to our support staff that we have. Even though I've got to go get surgery to fix the nose right now. But, you know, that one got broken a few games back. Couple games back, actually. But
which game? You
know, last one in Cleveland. So, yeah, it's a little bit crooked. Moves a little bit right now, but you know, apart from that, I feel great. You know.
You know what the great thing about that is that Aaron Baines broke his nose. Well, first of all, it explains why he wasn't used more. I mean, during that game, I remember thinking, "Where's Aaron Baines?
Yeah.
They could have used him." But the other thing is that the guy's so tough that he broke his nose, and you can't even go back and find which play it was on because he didn't even wince or move his head back in any kind of way that would indicate, well, maybe this guy broke his nose.
That's usually, there's also a lot of blood. When you break your nose,
right?
Usually that happens.
He even was like joking about it. He was like, no, it's going to be fine. My kid like kicked me in the nose earlier today, so it didn't really hurt that bad, so I'm all right. It's like, dude's got a broken nose. And just continue to go
black
on.
Black and blue marks, something.
I know. And one of the biggest decisions of the offseason is going to be what to do with Marcus Smart. So according to an article by Jackie McMullen of ESPN, Smart, who's going to be a restricted free agent this summer, was told that Boston might not be able to or be willing to afford the $12 to $14 million a year price tag that he'll reportedly be seeking. He said, quote, to be honest, I'm worth more than $12 to $14 million. He said, just for the things I do on the court that don't show up in the stat sheet, you don't find guys like that. I always leave everything on the court every game. Tell me how many other players can say that. So the Celtics can make a qualifying offer of nearly $6.1 million to Smart and match any free agent offer that is going to be made by another team, but it's unlikely they will do so if the numbers climb too high. According to this article from Jackie McMullen, she said Boston discussed an extension with Marcus, but the dollar figures were too far apart. And according to her as well, the Celtics are resigned that Smart is going to opt for a bigger payday elsewhere instead of taking a hometown discount. So Marcus was asked about all this yesterday, and here's what he had to say.
I got a lot to think about. You know, it's a lot of factors that go into it, you know. But, you know, my main say, you know, I want to be in Boston. I want to be here. I love the city. I love this team. I love the atmosphere that it gives off. And, you know, I've been here for 4 years. My heart's here. So, but it's definitely going to be some factors in going to it.
That means nothing. What he said means nothing.
It sounds like what everyone says. Like, yeah. I love it. My heart's here.
It means nothing. It's right. Diametrically opposed to, I think I'm worth more than whatever. You know, he wants the money. And we discussed this as much last week. It appears he wants the money. And I'm still very curious on how you measure Marcus Smart, because we went through the numbers. I mean, he's a really bad shooter, and if he had played enough games, he would have been the worst shooting point guard in the league by far.
Ask yourself this.
From the floor and from three, defensively, he's incredibly special, but his skill set is unique. I mean, there's a guy, Roberson, who plays in Oklahoma City that is similar to him, but not quite the same.
I guess the thing you have to ask is, how many games did Marcus Smart win you? In the postseason, just think about the postseason. There were a couple of games that you could probably point at and say he might have been the reason you won. I know the end of that Bucks series when he returned, the complete tone changed.
Yep.
I know that there was the final game of the Sixers series that you could take a look at some of the big plays that he made, especially at the end when he had that wide receiver catch at the end of the game. And I mean, that's you could maybe give him some credit for that one as well. I think he's extremely valuable, but now you have to put a dollar figure on it.
Can you pay a guy like that, who is not a cornerstone, but a necessary player? We've said this before. Every good team has a player like Marcus Smart on it. If you're a team looking to make an impact in free agency and you have to sell it to your fans and this guy has to come in and change the course of the franchise or at least be part of that, is that Marcus Smart? Because offensively, he's not that guy.
I think what you're hinting
you have to have him join a team that has a boatload of shooters to make up for what he gives you on the offensive end.
Well, I think what you're saying is that he's more valuable to the Celtics than he is to almost any other team out there. And I agree with that. And another thing you have to consider when trying to figure out how much he is worth is that, you know, in 3 years, you've got Jaylen Brown that you're going to have to figure out about getting a new contract for, and then then Jason Tatum in four. So how long is the contract? How long will this lock up your money? And I think I've kind of resigned myself to the amount of money that I'd be comfortable for the Celtics paying would be somewhere around 4 years, 55, maybe even $60 million. Like, if you were to give him close to 15 for 4 years, that's about the most I would say until I got to the point where I was just like, well, you know what? I got to trust Brad Stevens that he can turn some other random guy into Marcus Smart, that he can... And Danny's able to pick out the type of personality that can be a Marcus Smart type player, and that Brad Stevens can obviously nurture that and turn him into a beast.
Yeah, he's not a guy you can start 80 games a season.
No, and he's not going to start.
But that's the thing. Some team has to pay him to be a starter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's an NBA team out there that's willing to take that gamble, at least not for $16, $17, $18 million a year.
Now, Mark, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, I understand we missed a lot of shots in the very end of the game, but I think that we did not get any calls. Like, Tatum didn't get any calls, and all the calls went to LeBron because he was in the league for 15 years or whatever. But an upcoming star like Tatum, I mean, I clearly saw a hack on him on game 3 or 4 that he didn't get, and he's probably gotten many more than that the series could have changed earlier.
Well, let me ask you this, Mark, just kind of to your point. Do you think that if the Celtics had 4 or 5 calls go their way, they would have won game 7?
I don't think game 7.
Yeah, I think that it was fair. I think that the officiating, Mark, I appreciate your call, and your point is valid that superstars get calls, but it's been that way for a while. I think they were actually failing on LeBron James. I think they were calling fouls on LeBron James that, you know, maybe 2-3 years ago you would have never seen called on him. But for some reason, over the last couple of years, I think the refs have moved by the way of being a little more fair to LeBron. And I hate LeBron, and I don't want to admit that, but I thought he was called fairly. He's also really freaking good at drawing a foul.
You remember,
that's something that, once again, Jaylen Brown needs to learn how to do.
Remember when we had Brian Scalabrine in here, and this is during the latest Big 3 era, and we're complaining during the NBA Finals about Kobe getting all these calls, and we talk to Scal and we say, are you upset that Kobe gets special treatment? He goes, well, no, because we have guys like Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen that get those calls too. Wait till next year. When you have Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward getting those calls.
Well, I mean
that's the way the NBA is. You need a superstar, and they'll get superstar treatment, and you'll say at least in a handful of games next season, thank God Kyrie Irving got the benefit of the doubt on that call late in the game. Otherwise, we would have lost.
All right. We will get to, once again, all your calls, 617-779-0985, plus the Red Sox. Now that they're the only game in town, it's nice to have the spotlight on them, and they'll be, hey, we're in first place. But David Price just can't get out of his own way. We will get to that and also all the rest of the Danny Ainge audio. And Dan Roach in studio right after John Wallach's headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
It is Toucher and Rich, 6:37. And once again, if you want to talk Celtics, we'll be talking all morning, kind of on and off about them. 617-779-0985, doing somewhat of a post-mortem, and also if you want to give me crap for coming on here after game two and saying that the Celtics are going to the finals.
Shakes in the whole damn thing.
I tell you what, I have that kind of power, but listen, I want to kick my own self in the ass. That game, it just pisses me off, and I'm not going to say this over and over again. Listen, I appreciate the fact that they played above. I mean, they completely blew away my expectations, making it to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, blah, blah, blah. But that game was winnable. That game was right there.
Yeah.
There's for the taking. That's one game you can look at. There's a lot of games where there was a lot of different factors with this. The Celtics just, they didn't have a shot. This game, for some reason or the other, the Cavs played blah, blah, blah. That game was winnable. And they just blew it. It was a choke game. And I think it's okay to admit that the Celtics were unbelievable this season. They were an enjoyable team. I mean, really one of the more fun seasons I can think of in a while, and that they shouldn't have ever been there. But that game was something that they completely crapped away.
Yes. You're up 10 in Game 7 at home in the first half. You should win.
And it just...
You should win.
And there's a lot
of
people...
Talk to Houston. You should win.
And I'll put a lot
Same
of the...
thing.
I'll put the blame all over the place, including Brad Stevens, I think, deserves some of the blame for how that game went down. But we'll get into a little bit of that later on. But first, on a day where the Red Sox, the only game in town, they continue to run their... they continue to run the league in first.
And another RBI opportunity here for Andrew Benintendi. Already has three today. Fly left field. Martin on the move. He's turning around. It's off the green. Another run is in. It bounces all the way up against the sidewall. He's heading into third. Benintendi, he dives in. Red Sox on top, 8-2, and Benintendi off to the races.
So that is Neston, and Andrew Benintendi was 3-for-5 yesterday and fell a double short of the cycle. People love the cycle as the Sox defeated the Blue Jays 8-3, and David Price won't let me like him. Before yesterday, he had three solid starts in a row, and then yesterday, he lasted five innings, allowing just two runs, striking out four and walking four. And during the first inning, he took a line drive off the chest, yet continued to play.
Line shot against Price. He's going to go to pick it up and lob on to first to get him. Yeah, drilled by that. We'll see if he's all right, showing no signs at the moment.
All right. You know what happens?
You actually heard the ball hitting him there.
Yes,
that's
you did.
Really,
he got punched in the chest.
Yes.
Like Henry Rollins likes to call in and say. You know what happens the day after a performance like that? A day where you show a little bit of toughness and grit. A day where you can look at the numbers and go, hey, you know, this guy started to string together a nice little series of quality starts. More than likely, people might start to come around on you. People who were previously critical might go, you know what? You got to give this guy some props. He's ignored the noise and he bounced back, but no. David Price has to remind everyone that he's still the guy that can't get out of his own damn way. The guy that ripped on Dennis Eckersley in front of all of his teammates. The guy who seems to throw out every excuse in the book when he is not pitching well. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a course on what not to say after a game like that when you're David Price.
Did that bother you on the shot maybe there? Cut off the forearm there, bother you the rest of the time?
No. You know me. You know, I'm the softest guy in this clubhouse. If that bothered me, I'd have been out of the game. You know, I'm soft.
How painful?
It wasn't painful. I'm fine. If it was painful, I'd have came out.
And that wasn't it.
You're joking about being tough or soft and that kind of thing.
I'm soft, period. It's not a joke. I'm soft.
No, LeBron.
Anything else?
Do you think people have been kind of unfairly judging you on that stuff?
No. I'm soft. You know, it's cold. I can't pitch. You know, if my hand's tingling, I can't do my job. You know, that's it.
He might as well have added a nanani boo-boo to the end of that. The one game where you do something somewhat admirable by sticking around and pitching after you get hit, you try to shove it in everyone's face. And by the way, that wasn't really in the scheme of things that hard of a hit either there, Rambo. Watch the video of Nolan Ryan taking the Bo Jackson one-hopper off his lip and continuing to pitch with his bloody face and all. Like, look at his face exploded and he got back out there. I mean, my goodness, you talk as if you're like a war hero. Dude, people get plunked harder than that all the time. And you got to stand up there and say, oh, I guess I'm soft, man. I go, ah. And to be quite honest, I'm really kind of sick of complaining about this guy. It's not that I want to like him. That's not really the case. But I also don't want to sound like Zolak, who every time the guy says anything, he goes off on him when he screws up. But right now I'm with Zolak. This guy's intolerable. Today was a day that you would have to give the guy some credit. He's had, what, Has it been four or five?
Four starts in a row of two earned runs or less.
Yeah, he's been really good. And you're like, okay. You know, I know the guy bitched a little bit about his hand, the carpal tunnel stuff, and it's cold. And that guy's, you know, he's a dink, and I don't like him that much.
You're paying a lot of money for him.
Right, you're paying a lot of money, but give the guy a little bit of credit. And he got hit, and he didn't complain about it. But what did he do? He had to go, yeah, I'm tough. Everyone who's ever called me soft, look at me. I'm a big badass. I got hit in the shoulder. I'm like an Iron Man.
You see, it's gotten to the point for me where it's white noise. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, it's part of the package. And to be honest with you, considering how good how well the Red Sox are playing right now, to get to where they need to go, he has to pitch well. They can't win it without him. He has to be a solid number two starter for them to win anything this year. And the playoffs is its own thing. When we get to there, we'll get to that. This is the price of doing business. I've resigned myself to the fact that Price is going to act like this, and if you could somehow block it out and just concentrate on what he does on the field, I'm fine with it.
You know what? He doesn't have to be this way. And you know what? Okay.
He doesn't, he is, and that's not going to change.
All right.
He can't. You said it yourself, and it's obvious he can't help himself. Remember all the problems on Twitter during the offseason? Well, I suck in the playoffs. Get off of Twitter. Stop doing that. It's a bad look. So he did that. He wasn't talking to the media at all last season, which was another bad look. At least in spring training this year, he decided, regardless of what had happened, he decided to start talking to the media. He said all the right things. I'm opting into my contract. I want to be here. He's talking to the media after starts. He's going to be a dink. That's who he is. It's not changing. So with that in mind, I've chosen to just accept it for what it is and move on and not get angry.
Here's why this upsets me. And I mean, for a lot of reasons. He just sounds so condescending. I mean, I guess I'm soft. But the other thing that pisses me off is that if you remember when he had this whole thing going on between him and Dennis Eckersley and the whole press and all of that, his numbers started to slowly go down. I think this stuff truly affects the way he pitches. And I think that for a while people were kind of getting off his back and he started to pitch okay. But I just can't stand it when he does this.
So you're telling me because of this, the next couple of starts, he's going to go in the tank?
No, I'm saying there's the potential for that. I'm saying that
he's pitched well the last month.
Yes, he has. And people have kind of shut their mouth. But then you bring this back up and you try to put it into everyone's face. And you know exactly how things are run around here. Everyone's going to try to push it right back in his face because, you know, in this case, he deserves it. I'm not one for overly criticizing somebody when they don't deserve it. I hate when people try to find the negative and they dwell in it, and my God, Dan
like
Roach.
Like you are now.
No, this is something you should look at him and go, what an a-hole you are. Calm down.
I guess I'm soft. Ugh, I must be the softest guy alive.
It's not a shot at the fans. It's a shot at the media. That's all it is.
Stop that. It's both, because the fans think the same thing. The fans think when he's talking about how it's cold and sometimes my allergies, don't try to say that's a media thing.
I just got through saying he's a dink. Everyone understands that.
I don't want to be that guy that always rips on David Price, but he makes it so damn tough. So tough to like him. And I bet even Dan Roach, who's coming in this morning.
I doubt. No,
Mr. Red Sox is going to hear that and go, why? What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, maybe. And if you get Dan to do that,
if he doesn't,
without Fred Tucher here, I'll be very impressed.
And if he doesn't rip on him, I'm going to punch him in the nose right here and show you what it really means to be hurt.
Okay.
David Price.
Okay.
Get a little boink on the shoulder.
I like this. I like slightly angry shirt and leave this morning.
He pisses me off. I mean, and also I'm still
he's
a little raw
easy
from
not
the game
to
seven.
Like. He's very easy not to like, but if he can be a number two starter and win 15 games, I'll be fine.
I'm still slightly agitated from game seven, and it's rubbing off on everything. That's just that bad.
I understand. I get it.
I'm not going to get over that, I don't think.
I know.
It's going to be a while. Even though I know they overachieved, it was theirs.
Yeah.
I wanted another week and a half of basketball. I wanted another four games of basketball.
It'd be like the Nationals.
That's what it would have been.
I just wanted to get to the series. I would have been fine with it. Yeah. That's all it was.
I know. Yeah. I know. I just want more. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll be back.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 Sports Hub. It's Tucher and Rich. By the way, I saw Solo this weekend, the Han Solo movie.
Worth it or not?
Well, I mean, there was all the rumors about how, not rumors, but there were originally these pair of two directors, I forget what their names are, but they did that like 21 Jump Street movie and a couple other movies that were way better than they should have been. And they were originally signed on to be the guys who were going to helm this film. And apparently, almost by the time it was done, someone from the studio stepped in and said, this isn't any good. And they fired him, and they brought in Ron Howard to clean up the mess. And so everyone was like, usually when something like that happens, it's going to be a total disaster. I saw it, and it was perfectly fine. Yeah, it's good. I mean,
is it worth spending the $16, $20, whatever it is?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan, sure. I mean, okay. If you like it, yeah, it is. It is. However, I, about 10 minutes after the movie was over, realized that there was a massive, massive timeline problem in something that happened in this movie.
Uh-oh.
Like, massive.
Uh-oh.
And I was in the bathroom after the film, and it was crowded. It had just gotten out. And I actually said out loud to myself, wait, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
In which the bathroom for about 5 seconds sat in silence because I just blew all their minds with my timeline theory. And to that, I actually had somebody who was in the stall that was two over yell out an answer to me that made no sense. People who saw the movie know what I'm talking about, but I'm infuriated.
Is it
with
a Jabba thing?
I'm not going to say anything. All I'm going to say
is
that
ruin the movie.
There is a massive timeline problem with this movie. Something in this movie that should not have existed during the time that they said it existed.
I would think Star Wars people are usually better about these.
You would think so. And I'm getting explanations about.
There were a couple of problems with the last Star Wars movie. A couple of spots where you're like, all right.
No. I'm getting explanations that involve, well, you got to watch the cartoon TV show. I'm like, no, I'm not going to watch a damn cartoon TV show. To explain this.
The Star Wars Rebels thing my kids watch? That thing?
I see the movies, and if it's not, if it doesn't make sense in the movies, then screw everything else. I'm not going to read all this fan fiction or other things that explain. Like, there's a massive, massive timeline problem in this movie, and you guys who saw it know exactly what I'm talking about. And if not, I'm blowing your mind like I did all those people in the bathroom that caused that 5 second silence until Nerdy McGee in the stall two over had to yell out something about Star Wars Rebels or some TV show.
You slapped him down.
I couldn't slap
like
him. My hands were still
like Matumbo. Yeah, it's bad choice of words.
Still taking care of business.
Gotcha. Yeah,
Matt, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey guys, this is Matt.
What's up, Matt?
So I'm just making a point on the Game 7 of the Celtics. I mean, you can't score 79 points and expect to win, but I think the main reason behind that is Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart combining for a 3-for-24. I just want your guys' take on whether you think, if Smart gets even a dollar more than the Celtics are offering, whether or not he'll be shipped out. Thanks, guys.
Well, I mean,
of course he will. Yeah. No, he's going to get, he'll get more offered to him than what the Celtics are willing to pay, at least up front. I mean, the qualifying offer is around $6 million. Somebody will offer him more than that. And the fact that Smart missed all those shots in Game 7 is nothing new.
Well,
other NBA teams didn't know already.
He says he's worth more than $12 to $14 million. And you actually raise a pretty good point. Who's going to pay that? And
you need to pay. If you're going to pay him that much, you have to start him. And I don't know if he's worth starter money. He's a great, one of the better impact players you'll ever see come off the bench. Because when he comes in the game, the game changes. He's instant energy. And as we always keep saying, he's special on the defensive end. But you can't have him take 15 shots a game. You can't. If you're an NBA team, you can't. You can't survive 3-for-15 nights, 20 games a year. You can't do it.
And you're right. It's tougher to sell to a fan base when you're a playmaker on the defensive side of the ball. Like, if you're somebody like J.J. Redick, we've talked about him, and I kind of look at Marcus Smart.
You can sell that. He made $23 million for 1 year this year. Well, you can sell a knockdown three-point shooter that's been in the league for 15 years.
Well, that's kind of my point, is that I like to look at J.J. Redick and Marcus Smart as being the same person on different sides of the ball. J.J. Redick isn't that good at all on defense, but my God, he is the guy you want with the ball in his hands near the end of a game, three-point shot. I mean, the guy is a sniper. And Marcus Smart is a guy you don't want the ball in his hands at the end of the game, but you sure as hell want him defending who has the ball. And you want him making big plays.
Which is why he plays 20 or 25 minutes a game and comes off the bench.
So does Redick. Well, Redick can come off the bench, but he's also started as well. But, I mean, he's also a guy that you don't expect to be the guy. But you can sell the offensive player by looking at your fan base and say, this is how much he scores per game. Obviously, this is going to help. But what do you point at if you're a fan base and go, we're going to spend $15, $16 million on a guy who averaged 10 points a game? Is that what it was?
Yeah, right around.
Right around 10 points a game? Much.
But you can't, that's the problem. You can't quantify what Marcus Smart does. You can pay for offense. People will pay through the nose for offense. No one has really paid for defense. No one has really paid for a defensive specialist. You pay defensive specialists $2 million a season. Market, this will be fascinating to see because, as we said last week, Smart is a different case. I mean, this could be a precedent-setting contract for guys to come after him that do basically the same thing.
Pardon me, but people are trying to serve me okay. on Twitter right now. Hey, Rich, you can't call it a, quote, massive timeline problem just because you don't accept they made a Clone Wars canon. That's your problem, bro. Oh, yeah?
Did it actually say bra?
Bra, yeah, oh, B-R-U-H.
Jesus, God.
I don't know who you think you are.
This is what we've come to.
You cartoon watcher. What, are you watching cartoons? Someone said the two Star Wars cartoons are actually awesome after the first seasons. It gets kind of dark. For a cartoon! I like the really adult things, like movies where space warriors are shooting laser beams and holding lightsabers.
This is Star Wars Attack of the Clone Wars?
No. It's not the movie. It's that cartoon thing.
That's what I'm asking.
You're saying I got to watch a cartoon to get what happened in a movie? No, I'm not going to do that. They screwed up. Admit it. The makers of Solo screwed up and completely botched their timelines. Like, massively, massively botched their timelines. Last 15 minutes of that movie make no sense whatsoever.
Really?
None. And it's a good movie. But they are right. way off
How
on the timelines.
How was the guy who played Han Solo? Was he good?
You know what? He's better than I thought he was going to be.
Okay.
There was always
that
rumors
was one
that,
big problem at the start.
That they
so.
Said he didn't know how to act. They had to teach him how to act on the set. Oh. He was fine. He was
okay.
perfectly fine. Once again, the movie is perfectly fine. It's like a good movie. It's you enjoy it. It doesn't blow your mind or anything. Like, I loved the last two real Star Wars movies. Like, I love The Last Jedi, and I really like The Force Awakens. This was fine. It was perfectly fine. But, my God, don't even step to me with whole canon talk. It's Clone Wars. That's your problem, bruh. How about that? You watch cartoons. God, that pissed me off. It's Game
really?
7. Everything has
yeah.
affected my mood.
Yeah.
Ever since Game
yeah.
7, everything's just made me like more angry. That's why we need Dan Roach in here. We need him to calm me down and tell me that in the big picture it wasn't that bad. But my God, it was. It was really bad. They should have won that.
Yes.
I hate LeBron James. I just got to turn. I got to turn off ESPN. I got to turn it off for like a month now. And God forbid they somehow win. Oh, my God. I heard Windhorst saying, you have to recognize this is one of his greatest achievements. They beat...
No.
They went to Game 7 against a team with no stars.
I watched Windhorst do a stand-up from the Garden after the game was over and where he said the Celtics beating... The Cavaliers beating the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals was one of LeBron's top achievements in his career.
Yeah, I heard
Windhorst
the same thing.
Actually fixed his mouth to say that, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, are you effing kidding me?
You know what you can do
with this nonsense?
Here's the one thing you can point at in the postseason that LeBron James did. Other than, of course, you know, be coddled by the sweet breast that is Brian Windhorst. He beat the Raptors and humiliated them.
Yeah.
That's the one thing he did. What superstars are on the Pacers? What superstars did he beat?
Victor Oladipo had a good season.
Is he a superstar? No.
No.
What superstars did he beat on the Celtics? And he went Game 7 against both of those teams. So stop with this. This is one of the greatest things he's ever achieved, all right? He's hardly achieved anything. Now, listen, he was excellent. He was great. But stop. And you know what? That's like almost like a slight to LeBron James. The guy's done way more than this. I could probably think of like 10 different things that the guy has done that have been more impressive than beating this Boston Celtics team in 7 games. My God, Brian Windhorst, he is just going... That's why this pisses me off even more than it should, is that this whole series is going to be intolerable. And I love the NBA, and I can't stand it that it's these two
Golden
teams again.
Golden State, like they did last year, should finish this quick.
No, according to Vegas, they should.
All right. I think they're minus 1,000 to win this thing.
I'm getting these explanations that I can't even read any of them because I don't want to spoil it to anyone.
Okay.
But all I'm saying is that people are just, they're completely wrong. They say, hey, maybe you haven't heard of Hyperspace Sarlacc or a giant slug crime boss. Maybe you should get a head checked. All
Sarlacc
right.
is involved with this?
I'm not saying the Sarlacc's involved. All right, 617-779-0985.